Tsongkhapa wasn't the least bit interested in enlightenment for the sake of oneself. He taught the path of what's called the path of renunciation, which is seeking enlightenment for the sake of all beings. It's kind of like if I've got some hang up, it'd be like, I want to get over this hang up so I can someday help other people who have the same hang up get over it too. Rather than I just want to get over this hang up. Everything is done so one can benefit others. The method he required of seeking enlightenment was gradual stages and progressive awakenings. It's not a race. It's very gradual and progressive. And he said if it has to be rooted, one's efforts, one's disciplines, has to be rooted in the cultivation of a moral development. So he emphasized the need for ethics as the basis. Because we all know what happens if somebody learns too much and doesn't have any moral basis, then they just can use that learning to manipulate and control others. Sell them politicians and products they don't need. He was also very steadfast on the need of rules of discipline for people wanting to tread the path toward enlightenment, because he said attempts to deepen insight without previous cultivation of self-restraint and self-control, attempts to deepen insight can lead one to invert things and can lead one into what he called psychic excesses, which is basically what the so-called New Age is all about, psychic excesses. You know, a lot of people running around thinking they're enlightened. A lot of people running around thinking this and that. Excessive. At the beginning, he said the person has to gain self-control of thought, feeling, word, and deed. Thought, feeling, word, and deed. I mean, this is the real stuff. You know, oh, that's easy. I'll gain control over my thought, feeling, words, and deeds. Try it for half a day. Yeah. That's why he said the path is difficult. I mean, that's like a preliminary step. Control over thought, feeling, word, and deed. If you read the Dalai Lama's book, as I mentioned earlier, My Land and My People, he talks about his own training. And he says in there, it wasn't until I was 14 years old that I was able to choose every thought. So at 14, he had control over thought. But most of us are probably pretty far from it. His first great exposition was called The Great Exposition on the Stages of the Path. The Great Exposition on the Stages of the Path. This is in print. Talks about the stages of the path. Not the quote Buddhist path, the path. It's all one. It's just consciousness and the different stages of development within it. And when he'd completed this writing, Saraswati, who's one of the Bodhisattvas, when he completed it, Saraswati approved it And Manjushri told him, you no longer have to ask me any questions. You're capable of answering anything you need to on your own. At 40, he was ready to devote all of his time just to teaching. He reformed all the lineages, but he did it in such a way that he caused no offense or resentment. He purified what needed to be purified, but he kept intact the essence of each lineage. And he finally decided to settle down at a place called Nomad Mountain, where a monastery is built called Ganden, G-A-N-D-E-N. And that's, kind of, so to speak, his monastery. And Ganden is the celestial abode of Maitreya. The word Ganden means the celestial abode of Maitreya. And the construction of that monastery is put in the hands of the man who was to become the first Dalai Lama. Okay. At one point he was invited to a very famous Tibetan monastery called Drepung Monastery, again to instruct the very highest, most advanced pupils. And he was in the middle of a teaching cycle, as they call it. Might go on for several days on a particular text or treatise. And he was in the middle of a teaching cycle and just stopped. I mean, he was talking. He was about halfway through and he just stopped. And everyone there understood that what that meant was that those of them who were worthy to hear it continued from him would hear it continued from him in their next lifetime. That's a level of conscious beings he was dealing with. When he stopped, they knew what it meant, and they knew if they were worthy, they'd hear it continued in their next life. That goes so far off the chart from what are you going to do tomorrow? Yeah. Then he mentions the supreme importance of this idea of bodhicitta, of the seed of enlightenment expressed as altruism. And he says that even if you constantly meditate and you achieve transcendence, without bodhicitta, you will not achieve supreme enlightenment.